Hello and welcome to the podcast of Vineyard Church here in Maryville, Tennessee. We post our Sunday messages here each week, as well as our conversations episodes, which include interviews, special announcements, and in-depth teaching. You can visit vineyardchurch.us to learn more about us or to access the audio archive. You can also subscribe to this podcast on Spotify, Apple, or Google Podcasts. And now, here's the episode.
All right. Well, good morning. Good to be with you guys this morning. Glad that you're here on yet another beautiful January morning in East Tennessee. Really glad that you're here. Hey, I'm going to get to the sermon in just a second, but I want to like nag you about something really quick first. We have a Next Steps class coming up. If you're not familiar with this, this is for folks who are new or new-ish to the church and maybe have questions about how we roll, how do we operate, how we make decisions. Maybe you're thinking about membership. This class is the answer for all of those things. We will answer your questions. We'll address the questions that you may not be willing to ask, but we think you probably should ask them. We'll do that in this class. And then also, it fulfills all our requirements for becoming a member. You kind of learn the way we roll, and then you decide whether or not this is the place where you want to put down some roots by way of membership. So all of that happens in the Next Step class. We do it during one of the services so that you can attend that and still worship on that same Sunday. We try to make it as easy as we possibly can. There's like a big neon sign that says Next Steps out there. You can't miss it. That's where that happens. And it starts on February 2nd, goes for just 3 weeks. And so I want to encourage you, grab the app or go on our website. You can register for that so that we know that you're coming. We'll have snacks. Okay. We want to make sure we're ready for you. And you can have all your questions at least responded to, if not full on answered. And I would encourage you, if you've been thinking, maybe now's the time to do that. Just do it. Just do it, man. I love you. Come on, just do it. Okay, let me invite you to stand as you are able. I'm going to read to you our text for today. This is Galatians chapter 6, verses 2 to 5. We'll read from the CSB version this morning. Carry one another's burdens. In this way, you will fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone considers himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Let each person examine his own work, and then he can take pride in himself alone and not compare himself with someone else. For each person will have to carry their own load. Let's say our prayer aloud together. I'll get us started. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you alone are King. Give us wisdom, courage, and kindness, that we might bear your image well. Unify us in heart, soul, and purpose, that the world might know your love. Make us your hands, generous and compassionate. Make us your feet, valiant and steady. In service to you and all you've created, give us love greater than fear. Onward for your kingdom, we're declaring your worth, finding our worth in you, and joining you in the renewal of all things. Amen. Thanks. You guys can have a seat. We're going to dive in here. We started this series a couple of weeks ago looking at this little paradox, which is as much as we all want this sort of unflappable peace of God that the Bible talks about, we can't have the peace of God unless we have peace with God. Hopefully you remember that. The good news is, we talked about this a couple times as well, Romans chapter 5, through the cross, God has made peace with us. So that's peace of God, comes through peace with God. So if we buy that through the cross we get peace with God, then we should all then who believe that just be getting these buckets and buckets of peace that we have been promised. But most people never get it. And the reality is, I think lots of folks never even approach anything like that sort of transcendent peace that we're promised in Philippians chapter 4, if you recall. And this, people who like are really legit and all the way love Jesus and they do all the stuff and they still don't even approach this kind of peace that the scripture talks about. And so, it's like, what's that about? What's going on? Like, what gives? You know, were we lied to? Is this a scam? Is this a bait and switch? Like, what's going on? It's not a scam. The promises are true. The peace of God is a thing, man. It isn't some fantasy. It's not reserved for people with like super duper spiritual gifts or people who meditate all day or give away everything that they have or anything like any of that. The peace of God really does come down to, as we've said, making peace with God. But here's the rub. Stay with me. This part's still review. Just because God has made peace with us, it doesn't mean that we've made peace with him. Just because God has made peace with us doesn't mean that we have made peace with him. It's a two-way street. And it's difficult for us to kind of make peace with God because, frankly, the world is broken and we see evidence of it all around. I mean, it's a mess, right? And what happens is, in the midst of all this brokenness, horrible, unpredictable, unavoidable, painful things happen all the time. And then we're left looking at the mess, and it makes us feel, if we're honest, a little bit suspicious. Like, if God is so good and so loving and so kind, then why is this place that he created so incredibly broken? And why are so many people suffering? And why am I suffering? And so we wrestle with this. I recently told you, it was a couple weeks ago now, because none of you people showed up last week. I'm just kidding. I'm glad you didn't come. We canceled. I recently told you, though, about our dog, and he can't figure out his new toy. I won't do it again. He still hasn't figured it out, by the way. Update, not any closer. Can't figure it out at all. But anyway, that's our little dog. And then if we left our house then, and, you know, Sharon looks at me and goes, oh, no, we left the stove on. And I say to her, don't worry, Tyson's there. He's got this, okay? Dude, we're gonna be turning the car around, okay? Like, we're definitely like, nope, he can't handle it because those are not capable hands or paws or whatever. There is no comfort to be found in just giving it all to God if we don't trust him and that those are capable hands. If we look around and think, I don't know, maybe God doesn't have it all under control, then we'll have no choice then to our next best option, and this is what we do, is we just cling to our worries all the more. The challenge is to cast our cares on God, and we just won't do that if we aren't convinced that in so doing, we are placing our cares in the most capable and loving hands. So instead of saying, you got this, we will keep saying, ah, I got this, and as a result, we will just keep holding on to various levels of panic and neurosis and stress because we all know full well that we don't got this. We just look around and figure, I guess I'm the best option I've got, so I'll go with me. And we all know it doesn't work. So again, just because God has made peace with you doesn't mean that you've made peace with him. So how do we do that? Again, a couple weeks ago, we covered the first and most important way that we can do this, the way that we can begin to trust, and this is absolutely core. This is the irreducible minimum of what we're trying to do, and it really boils down to just walking with Jesus, man. As we said, like any relationship ever, if you want to build trust, you've got to log the hours. We learn to trust the Lord the same way we learn to trust anyone else. We put in the time. And so when I'm talking about that, I'm talking about these day-to-day spiritual practices that we talk about a lot that connect us with God, things like prayer and scripture and worship. And these core practices, they aren't righteousness unto themselves. They're just wisdom that continues to point us to Jesus, with the goal being that our minds would turn to the Lord again and again throughout the course of the day, like the needle of a compass returns to the north. As we saw last week in Ephesians 3, as we sang about quite a lot just now, that experience of walking with him will anchor us in his love. And then it becomes more than this mental ascent where we go, I got to get my head around how much God loves me, because our heads can't do that. We have this experience of God's love, this daily experience of walking with Jesus and soaking in his love. We live it, we experience it, and in time we begin to comprehend his love all the more, and the trust is built. And that means relationship. So that was a couple of weeks ago. No shortcuts here, folks. Walk with Jesus, walk with Jesus, walk with Jesus. Anything less than that's kind of a joke. Nothing else will work. Walk with Jesus. Okay, so that was a couple of weeks ago. And that's the core. But I want to point out something interesting from today's text. As we read, it started with this phrase that we should carry one another's burdens. And then our text ended with another phrase that said, everyone must carry their own load. Do you guys notice that? You have to carry each other's burdens. Also, carry your own load. And to be honest, it reads a little bit like a typo. It's definitely not a typo. People didn't type back then. Not a typo. And I pointed this out a couple of times over the years, and I keep coming back to it because not only do I not think this is a typo or a mistake, or Paul didn't overlook something under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. I think what he's pointing to actually is a divine principle for us to live by. I really do. I think it's one of those keystones that we build around. I point out something very important. In the original language, there are different words that are used for burden and for load. The word burden, again, in the original language, refers to a weight that would crush any one person. It is impossible. It is not feasible for any one person to carry the burden, as it is, you know, the word that refers to there in Greek. And the second word, load, refers to the weight of a soldier's pack, which is exactly what we're intended to carry. So, all right. To be very, very clear, and you guys all know this, but let's just talk about it for a minute. Life is not always easy. You're going to have to carry some stuff that you don't want to carry. You're going to have to do it every day. It's the fact of life. And everyone has to carry their own load. If we're going to do our part, then you just got to load up and march, man. Like, you got stuff to carry. And to be clear, say this lovingly, but with some stank on it, like, not mean, but I wanted it to hurt a little. Don't put your stuff on other people. Carry your load. Get up and take responsibility for yourself. And that's often very hard. I don't want to run past it like it's no big deal. It's just a backpack. No, it's a lot. And you're often going to have to face disappointment, and things are not always going to go your way. Okay? Things aren't always, people are going to let you down. We get to work for what we need and to work hard to that end, which, by the way, is an honor. It is an honor to work hard for what we need. But the reality is, work has been cursed. We've talked about this a fair amount over the years. And even though work is not a curse, it's a good thing that has been cursed. And at times it will be sheer toil, just drudgery at times. And so be it. It's common to us all. It's part of the weight of a soldier's pack. I think we have an image of a caravan that might help us sort of picture this as we go. Do we have that image to put up? Yeah. Like, we've all gotten, you see that massive weight. It's a big, I don't know if you... It's not really zoomed in. They're carrying big packs. Like, it's a lot. It's significant. And so be it. That's the reality. We're going to have to make hard choices. All of us are going to have to make hard choices. And sometimes you're going to be wrong. And then when you're wrong, you have to face the fallout for those choices and what comes from it. And it continues on. When you're young, by the way, this is chipper. I'm going to get nicer in a minute, but we're just not there yet. When you're young, you're going to feel restrained and limited, like you don't have any options. By the time you work through all of that and you work your way out of that, you'll be old and you'll have a whole other set of limitations. You might want to make a list. That's not. Life is often hard and painful. And the sooner you accept it, the better. And the people who reject this reality are delusional. They live in constant disappointment, always. Why? Because they've rejected this reality and therefore they feel entitled to everything working out for them. Which is just how children operate. It's how children operate, and then they pitch a fit, and then we fall in line and pitch a fit if we're in this mindset. My wife, 2 days ago or something, was watching a video. Sometimes, this happens quite a lot, by the way. Sharon will be sitting next to me and she'll be watching a video or something on her phone. And she'll start laughing so hard that tears will pour down. She, like, if she laughs, she cries. And so I'll just look over there and she's like shaking all over with tears pouring out of her. This happens like twice a day. Like, I'm kind of jealous of it. I was like, I want to laugh that deeply. So a couple days ago, she like couldn't get it together. And when she laughs for a long time, I'm like, okay, what is it? Just show me. Because I like to think I'm too good for social media. So I don't need to see it. And I'm like, all right, show it to me. So it was this video of this little kid. He was like, little boy, he was like 4 years old, and he was standing outside the car, and the door's open. He didn't want to get in the car, and so he gets upset, and he slams his little backpack down, and then his mom squats down next to him and kind of looks him in the eye, maybe about to do some gentle parenting. And then suddenly, his older sister just shows up in the screen, grabs him, throws him in the car, slams the door, picks up his bag, chucks it in the open window, and walks off. And I'm like, yeah! Because she's like eight, she's figured it out, you know? She's like, this garbage doesn't work. You can pitch a fit all day long, it ain't working. I loved it, it was so great. So we know better, but it doesn't keep us, like we pitch fits too, you know? We get to the point where there's just no breathing room. I remember this had been quite a few years ago, I don't remember how long, but I know the kids were really, really little. And I got up in the middle of the night. I don't know if I was like stressed and couldn't sleep or probably a kid was crying. I don't know. But I get up and I realize, man, I'm up now. I'm not going to get back to sleep. And at the time, I'm overburdened and I'm behind on everything. And I'm like right here, man. Like the tears are like one layer deep and I've just been living there for a while. And that's where I'm at. And it's the middle of the night and I'm all the more frustrated. And I was like, I'm up now. I'm just about to make a bowl of cereal. So I grab a box of cereal, and it hadn't been opened before, so I open it up, and I start wrestling with the bag. Guys, why do they do it that way? Why are cereal bags the way that they are? It's like you pull it a little, and it doesn't work, so you have to pull it really, really hard, and then when it gives and it opens, it doesn't open a little, does it? No, it just rips open and now the bag can't be sealed and it's all gonna be stale. And why do they do it that way? Okay, it's like one of those little triggers for me, okay? So much so, like, seriously, I don't eat cereal anymore. I don't. They may have fixed it years ago. I don't know. I haven't opened a box of cereal in years. And I say that to people sometimes and say, like, I don't even eat cereal anymore. And they're like, are you a health nut? And it's like, no, I'm afraid I'm going to murder somebody someday because the packaging is so stupid. But I hadn't turned over that new leaf. It's the middle of the night. I'm right on the brink. And I start wrestling with the packaging. And sure enough, in the middle of it goes and it rips. And there are just honey and bunches and oats flying all over the kitchen. And I just sink to the floor and sob. And pitch my little fit, you know, like we get to our breaking points and whatever it is. And that's, I don't want to act like it's some awful thing to have those moments. We all have those moments and get to those places at times. But the fact is, and this is what I want to highlight, is some people just live there. They just live there every day. They're just always, always on the brink, always feeling slighted, always feeling mistreated, and they end up shaking their fists at God, acting like they've been lied to. Now look at me about that. If everything in your life always has gone completely perfectly, and by the way, I'm certain I'm talking to exactly zero people right now, but let's just say you're the one, I don't know, you're the one and only one ever who has had everything go exactly as you hoped. If that's you, then you and you alone can shake your fist at God and say that you have been lied to, because we are promised over and over and over again in Scripture that life comes with great difficulty. This is the reality. Jesus himself said it. This is John 16:33. Here on earth, you will have many, in Greek that means many, many trials and many sorrows. That's a promise from God himself, and you can take it to the bank. And also, welcome to the vineyard. I'm so glad you're here today. I'm going to get nicer soon, I promise. It's not rosy, folks. We know this. But it's 100% true. We all just have a load to carry. And there are no exceptions. So as my dad often says, take two salt pills and march on, soldier. And the people who feel The people who reject this reality then, as I've said, feel entitled. And then they feel entitled to throw off their pack. They set aside their pack and they don't then take basic responsibility, and they not only make things worse for themselves, but they make a mess for everyone else to clean up. Don't do that. All right, everybody say amen so I can move on.
Amen.
Good. Yeah, okay. Whew. Now, with all that said about the loads that we all have to carry, there are some weights that just cannot be shouldered by any one person. There are some burdens, massive burdens, that are inevitable, that are just resident to this life, that would, on their own, crush any one of us. So, again, pick up your pack and carry what's yours to carry. But for those things that the Bible recognizes will crush any one of us, please, I'm begging you, don't try to carry those alone. Don't even try to carry those alone. And we would say it feels like kindness to go, you know, actually, I'm going to try because I don't want to, worry other people or burden other people with my stuff. It's not a kindness to try. And here's why. Because it will crush you. And then the people that you didn't want to burden with your troubles will now be left to carry you and your pack. They'll crush you. It's not a hero's journey. It's a fool's journey. There are these like existential dilemmas. There are these intractable problems in life. We have to share those. Wildfires rage indiscriminately, right? As Jesus said, the rain falls on the just and the unjust. Good things happen to bad people and bad things happen to good people, and it's not fair. And the innocent suffer while the wicked thrive. There are questions we can't answer. There are problems we cannot solve. We are not in control of outcomes. We are subject to the whims of fate. We are not able to protect the people we love, and we are going to die. I thought I moved to the nice part. I'm not suggesting that we should not wrestle with these questions. We should. I am suggesting that we should be mindful of what we're wrestling with, and we should be honest about what's not within our reach. So, man, if you feel so inclined, by all means, try to reconcile the irreconcilable and scrutinize the inscrutable. I will never suggest that you shouldn't ask questions or wrestle with the truth, but be honest about what you're doing and your prospects, how reasonable your prospects are to actually come to a solution. As usual, Paul has this sorted out pretty well. And we can see this in Romans chapter 11, verse 33. Oh, the depths of the riches and the wisdom and the knowledge of God, how unsearchable his judgments and untraceable his ways. For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor, and who has ever given to God that he should be repaid? For from him and through him and to him are all things. Did you catch those words? He said, it's unsearchable, it's untraceable. It's like, I'm going to go back and I'm going to sort of trace the hand of God and I'll see where he went and then I'll understand how we got to here. He goes, no, you can't, it's untraceable. And he says, it's unsearchable too. Some things aren't just unfindable, but they're unsearchable. Like it's a needle in a haystack and we can't even find the haystack. C.S. Lewis talked about this brilliantly, of course, because that's how he talked. But he said, when we ask questions like this, we don't even know enough to ask the right questions. And we end up asking questions like, how big is yellow? It's unsearchable. For a society, some needs are just too big for us to address as individuals. That's why institutions are formed, militaries and education systems and government transit and public health care and all the stuff that none of us could do on our own. There are problems that we have to address as a collective in every society, and it the same thing within the family of God. There are burdens that we all share that none of us can carry around in our packs. And to go with the image here, those things, they go on the Humvee. All right, they go on the Humvee. They're still part of the caravan. We still gotta lug them around with us everywhere that we go. We can't make them go away, but they don't go on a soldier's pack. Those will crush even the strongest soldier. We carry those as a collective. We carry those as a family. And ultimately, we cast those things on God. And hear me now, because there's a lot of conscientious and responsible people in the room. That's not a cop-out. It's not a shortcut to entrust those things to the collective and ultimately to God. It's God's design and it's God's intent. I read you verses we've read several times together over the years, and it's still not enough. Matthew 11, 28 through 30, Jesus said this, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I'm humble and gentle at heart, and you'll find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear. The burden I give you is light." All right, so let's talk about a couple really practical applications here. We've all got our own loads to carry. Again, like the weight of a soldier's pack. And we've got to carry that stuff ourselves. If we dodge that responsibility, we will not only fail to be like a contributing member of society, but we will be a hindrance to society and to the people we love. You got to carry your own load. And then there are burdens that will absolutely crush us. Burdens that we are not intended to carry alone, but that we shoulder together and collectively we give to God. Okay, I think that's clear enough, I hope. And if you're still with me, then I think there's some very obvious work to be done with that in mind, which is this. Stay with me. We've got some sorting to do. If there's this kind of weight and this kind of weight, then we've got some sorting to do. If we've got loads that we must carry and burdens that we must share, then step one is figuring out which is which. And for what it's worth, I don't think you can like do this on the fly. I think you have to take a really deliberate inventory. By the way, I know I can't make you do anything. If I did, that'd be so much fun. But I can't make you do anything. If I beg and plead, some of you will do some of it. So I know that's the reality. But if I could make you do, I know I can't, but if I could make you do something, here's what I would make you do today. I would make you all write down, and that's just my way of saying, please, 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 please do this. Make you write down all the things that are currently weighing on you. Like write it down or type it or whatever. And to be clear, this will not be 3 or 4 things. It will be more like 30 or 40 things. And it will not take like 3 or 4 minutes to do that. It'll be more like 30 or 40 minutes to do that. And as you do the first couple of things, like, oh yeah, I know I'm stressed about this, that they'll come easily. The last few things you'll have to really prayerfully dig for. But I'm telling you now, as you dig for those things, those burdens that you're carrying, the weights that are hindering you, God will meet you in that moment. If you really seek his face in the moment, I'm convinced he will. He will help you recognize the burdens that you're carrying and help you name those weights. And just, I'm telling you, just the self-awareness of that alone is just really, really powerful. And here's what I know. I know that for a lot of folks, there's a deep resistance that comes up from what I'm saying right now. Because, and this isn't like insider information because I'm the pastor and I talk to you guys. I just know because there's this many people in the room. There is no doubt a bunch of people in the room right now who are working really hard to not feel their feelings, to stay as out of touch with their emotions as they possibly can. That's a hot stove and I ain't touching it and I'm gonna get away with it. And what you're doing as a result, and this is very common by the way, actively avoiding, actively distancing yourself from facing those realities head on. And that looks like numbing out or spacing out, or it looks like trying to just anything to keep you from it, because you know it's a ton and you just don't want to go there. And so people, you know, they'll use alcohol or other chemicals to just not to just numb the pressure to address the things that are building and building and building. You never want to be alone with your thoughts because they're going to go there too quick and you got to keep them at bay. And there's plenty of like good responsible people who will say, no, I'll carry it. I know I got a ton to carry. I'll carry it. I just don't want to look at it or think about it. I want to ignore it and just lug it along. And that's fine. It's fine. Until one day it catches up to you and you're crushed, or you explode on people you love and you don't know why. And you go, where did that come from? Or why am I here? Or why can't I get out of bed? And you don't know because you've been ignoring it and lugging it, ignoring it and lugging it. You got to name the stuff. You got to name it. And that can be really hard to do. And for some, it can be a long, painful process. It's absolutely worth it, though. And sometimes, by the way, it can be really validating. I know folks who've gone through a process like this. The first time I did this, it was super validating because I had this list and I was like, well, that's a lot of stuff. No wonder I'm like, not floating through every day. Like, good job by me to not have been crushed already. Like, it was just actually a sort of a validating thing. So anyway, whatever. Do it. And then you've got this big long list and you make a couple passes through the list. Here's what you do first. You recognize that our enemy is a liar. The only thing he can do is get us to believe things that aren't true. So what you want to do now is go through that list and just strike out anything that's just not true. I was like, well, that's not true. Like, I feel this burden that I'm unforgiven and that God doesn't love me. We can mark that out. Or I just carry the shame with me. You're a child of God? What are you carrying? There's no shame on you. I feel unloved. Or look around. Unloved? King of glory? Come on. You strike those things out. And look, I'm not going to pretend that just striking them out makes them all go away, but it's like really powerful to see how many things you strike through. And your mind starts to make some new pathways to go, wait a minute, maybe I don't have to carry all of this all of the time. That's the first thing you do. The second thing you do, you go through that list and you strike through whatever's unnecessary. It's like, well, that's a thing, but I actually don't need to carry that. Why am I carrying that? This doesn't go in my pack. This goes in your pack. Why am I carrying this for you? Hey, you, take this. I mean, be nice, but this is yours. I'm not going to carry this for you anymore. This is actually yours. By the way, there are plenty of folks in the room who don't need to be told to carry their own pack, but they do need to be told to stop carrying other people's packs before it crushes you. So there's that. And then the third thing you do is you grab a couple of highlighters or you make two new lists, whatever you want, because with what's left, and go, okay, here's what goes in my pack. I just got to carry this stuff. And here's what goes on the Humvee, man. This is part of the load that I must carry, and this is the burden that we have to share and that I can't do alone. It's a really powerful practice. Gives you perspective like nothing else. There's a couple fair warnings I can give you about this. Number one, this world is not fair. This bugs me, all right? Some people end up with heavier packs than others. Some people just get more to carry and they're asked to carry more, and I don't understand it and it is not fair. And for me at least, figuring out why that is a burden that goes on the Humvee. But that's a reality. And secondly, this world is hard, man. And even after you set down the burdens that aren't yours to carry and the stuff that's not true and the stuff that's other people's stuff, you still end up with a lot of stuff and it's still going to be heavy. I got good news about the second one though here. I'm almost done. Another biblical term for the load that you carry is yoke. Literally, a yoke is what you put on an ox so that it can pull the plow. So that yoke is that ox's load, okay? In Jesus' day, a yoke was like an expression or a colloquialism for a rabbi's teaching. So the things that a rabbi said you were responsible for, that was his yoke. There was a teacher saying, that's what you need to carry. And Jesus, our rabbi, said, and I quote, my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light. So how do we reconcile that with heavy packs? In other words, this is what Jesus is saying. It's a fallen world. We've all got a serious load to carry. That's the reality. But part of the beauty of walking with Jesus is that as we do, he helps us carry that load too. He helps us carry what's on the pack. Some stuff is ours alone to bear, and Jesus helps us even with that. Even in the stuff that's ours alone, it's not ours alone. It is, guys, it is really good to walk with Jesus. It is good to be a child of the King. Okay, all this brings me to one of the most brilliant prayers ever written, and it's not in Scripture. I do believe, though, that God inspired these words. It's called the Serenity Prayer. This is most commonly used in recovery programs, which is great, but this was not originally written for people who are struggling with addiction. It was written by a theologian named Richard Niebuhr 100 years ago, and it's for everybody. It says this: God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and wisdom to know the difference. In case you just spaced out during the whole sermon, you're just gone, I don't know, hungry, where, I don't. That's basically the summary statement. If you can just do that. God, help me pick up what's mine to carry, set down what's not, and God, please help me know which is which. I just want to assure you, like, God never expects us to be more than human-sized. All right? That's why he made you human-sized. Just, it's okay to be, we're not Atlas. I know it's an expiring image with Atlas holding the whole world on his shoulders. But it's also fictitious, and it will crush us. God doesn't expect you to be Atlas, he expects you to be you. He never expects you to be more than human-sized. I'd love to be able to tell you, here's exactly how you shift your load that you're carrying over to one that's shared, or you hand over one that's not really yours to carry in the first place. And I don't have like a good, I mean, I got 1,000 ideas. I'm just not sure that any of them will work or fit just right in your situation. But I mean, Jesus did. He said, you know, come to me, all you are weary and heavy laden, that whole thing. I'll give you rest. Yoke is easy, burden is light. It was the first three words. He said, come to me. Just come to me. It's really powerful to go, okay, this goes in this bucket, and this goes in this bucket, and this I got to get rid of, and that's really, really helpful. But in the end, to live that out, you have to come to him and allow him to empower you to do it. And then one more thing here, and I know this is going to sound like a commercial, and when I do stuff like this, I try to just acknowledge, okay, this is a commercial. Here we go. Man, this is so much more than that. I just have no idea how anybody can begin to do what we're talking about right now without being in a small group of believers who are walking with you. Like, how do you shift the load? To who? To the royal we? Like, where does it go? And you need people who love Jesus and who love you, who are walking with you, guys. Small groups are just, it's not the only way to do it. I think it's the best. It's certainly the clearest. And so we do all that we can to facilitate it. And my, as I've been preaching here this morning, there's a number of people in the room now who are people in the Trellis group I've been in for the last year. And every time, because I know where I'm going with the message, my mind just rushes as I look at them, that my eyes fall on them. I was just thinking about our Trellis group. In the last year, I think every single one of us have had our moments where we just had to bring it to the group and go, I can't bear this on my own. Someone I really love is really sick, or someone I really care about has gone astray, or I'm sick and it's terrifying me. Like, I think we all had a turn. I think I had two, actually, in the last year, where it was just me going, I can't, guys, I can't. We want you to sign up for a group, not so we can say, hey, we filled X amount of groups, or that's all stupid. It's how we do this. I'm not saying it's the only way. It's the best way we've found. I just don't know how else we do it. outside of a group like that, and maybe groups, plural, like that. Hey, we've been singing about how much God loves us. Let's take a moment now and sing about how great he is. And if he loves us this much, and he is as great as we're about to sing about, then we can entrust him with the burdens that we bear. So let's do that now.